So this week is Parshas Balak, and we deal with Bilam more than we deal with Balak. And they each had different skills. There's a Koisim and a Menachesh, a sorcerer and a magician. And there's a difference between them, as the Ishbitz explains, that the Menachesh is the person who action sachan, somebody gets fixated on something and uses his fixation, a kind of willful, willpower kind of thing to move things, and the koisim is the one who has a completely open mind and opens his mind, and rather than being misakesh, rather than being willful and mulish, does the opposite, you know, looks for signs and so forth. You know, it's very rare that I make notes before Monday night. But I have in front of me a whole load of notes because I feel like there's some hints at stuff in the Seder that we should know about, but we don't, and we go past it. For instance, there's a Medrash. It says, it's a medrash in Bamidbar. Leikom novi oid kvisro. Moshe, the second, third to last posuk in the Torah there, and never arose a novi in Israel like Moshe. So the medrash says, b'Yisroel leikom. Everybody knows this medrash, but by the Eden, we never had a prophet like Moshe, but by the Umas Olam, the nations of the world, they had. And why did they need a prophet? There shouldn't be an opening for the nations of the world to say, had we had, you know why we're so bad? Because we never had a prophet to come and teach us God's word. So God says, I sent you a prophet who was just as big as Moshe. And, in you know, listen, look what you did. And who is this? Bilam ben Boir. This is Bilam, who was the equivalent of Moshe. And then the Medrash continues. This is something that most people pass over without looking at, which is that there are three ways in which Moshe's prophecy was greater than that of Bilam. And that Moshe could prophesy standing up, whereas Bilam was like other prophets. He would fall down. And, you know, for most prophets, prophecy was a near-death experience. Moshe was, could just receive his prophecy anytime, just standing up. He didn't have to be asleep, and so and Moshe receives his prophecy mouth to mouth, and Moshe receives his prophecy face to face. Then, the Medrash says there are three ways in which Bilam is a greater prophet than Moshe. Gimel midos hoye biyad Bilam, mashe loy hoye biyad Moshe. Says Moshe loy hoye yedea mi medabe imay. Moshe didn't know who was talking to him. Bilam hoye yedea mi medabe imay. He knew who was talking to him. Shenema num shemea imrei kel. It says these are the words, the speech of he who hears the words of God. Hashemachze shaka yecheze, who sees the vision of God. I think actually that the posuk, the verse that's chosen here, is the wrong one. That really it should say Nu'um shemei imrei keel, and then v'yoidea das elyon, and then machze shada yecheze. So Bilam, we are told, is yoidea das elyon. He knows the knowledge of the Most High. What does it say by Moshe? By Moshe it says, and there never rose another prophet in Israel asher yedoya Hashem ponim beponim. There never rose another prophet in Israel would say, Leikom novi oid bisro k'moshe asher yedoya Hashem ponim el ponim. There never rose another prophet in Israel like Moshe asher yedoya Hashem, that God knew him face to face. By Bilam, it doesn't say Asher Yedoi Hashem. He claims to be the Yodea Das Elyon, that he has knowledge of God. So, you know, Das is a synthesis of Chochma Bino. We know the two sides of the brain, they work together. We know also that Das is Chibur, is connection. I'm trying to figure out is what is the real difference between Bilam and Moshe. So the Ishbitzer says, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, first we find that the messengers, you know, come to Bilam, and he says to them, "Oh, I had a dream. I can't go with you. I need to. You got to come back. You're bigger guys. I'm not going with you. You're too low down on the ladder. Go back to Balak, and he's got to send more important messengers, right?" And then God says to him, "All right, this time you can go." He says, because the first time God said to him, "You can't go with them." So the Gemara says, from here we learn that Omer Reb Nachman chutzpah afile klape shemayim mahana. That chutzpah, even against God, works, right? So first time, God says to him, don't go with them. And then they come back a second time, and he says, oh, wait here tonight. He didn't send them packing. Say, God said, don't go. He says, wait, stay overnight, and I'll see, you know. And then, so what's he waiting for? That God is going to, like, say, yeah, curse my children? Like, which, like the Gemara says, klum yesh av shesoynes benoy? What's Bilam waiting for that he didn't just send them packing, that he said, oh, wait tonight, and we'll see what happens, right? So the Gemara says, chutzpah klapi shemai, that Bilam has chutzpah against God, and it worked for him. That God said, all right, lechitam, lech telechimoim. So first, God says, loy telechimoim, you're not going to go with them. And then, the second time, he says, kum, get up, lechitam. Chutzpah klapi shemai. What does the Gemara mean here? What does the Gemara mean that the Medrash that says that Bilam knows who's talking to him and Moshe doesn't know who's talking to him? I mean, they both know it's God, right? It's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, where is it? If somebody goes between two women, or two palm trees, or two klovim, loy matziim, we don't walk between two, or one person doesn't walk between two, or two men don't allow one to walk between them, you know. And then the Gemara says, oh, what happens if you did? Yeah, it's a Gemara in Psochim, Tonu Rabbona, Shloisha ein mamtziin veloy mismatzin. And if you walked between two, my tekante, what's the takana? Well, how do you fix it? Omer of Popper, niftach bekel v'nefsik bekel. Iname, niftach beloy v'nefsik beloy. So Rav Popper says, to undo whatever damage is caused, then you have to say a posuk, you have to say a verse from the Torah that starts with Kael, the name of God, and ends with Kael, the name of God. Or you could say a posuk that begins with Loi and ends with Loi. Well, Rashbam says, what's the posuk of that begins with Kael and ends with Kael? It's Bilam says, here in this week's Sedra, Kael God brought them out of Egypt. They're powerful as the aurochs. Because there's no sorcery in Jacob. And there's no magic, divination in Israel. And now, at this moment, Yaakov and Israel got told, Ma po'al keu. what God is doing. So if somebody wants to undo the damage of walking between two palm trees, then he says this pasuk, or a pasuk that begins with loy and ends with loy. Where do you think it comes from? Again, what Bilam says, loy ish kel v'chaze, if God is not a man who can change his mind about something, or ben odam v'snecham, or somebody who has regrets, hahu omar v'lo yase, what he says he's not going to do, v'dibar v'lo yukimenu, he speaks and fulfills it not. So you got a loy at the beginning, a loy at the end. It's interesting that kel is backwards loy, and loy is backwards kel. There seem to be a whole bunch of hints that are going on here that I don't see them explained anywhere. And I'm trying to work them out. The Baal HaTurim says, Yoidea das Elyon. Why does Bilam refer to himself as Yoidea das Elyon, who knows the knowledge of the Most High? Because he wants to talk about Mashiach. Why does that have to do with Mashiach? You know, there's a Medrash in Tehillim. It says, "Dovach is a Medrash in Mizmor Tes Medrash Tehillim," that Shlomo wanted to. Bikish Lamoid ala Kate. He wanted to figure out when the end is gonna be. As he says, Imtirim Toira Sahava Shatechbot says, don't arouse the love until it's the right time. So the Pasuk in Yeshaya jumps out, Ki Yoim Nokam Belibi Ushnasku Ulibo, because there's a day of reckoning in my heart, says God, and the year of my redemption is coming. Reb Shol Masim Mishem Reb Yehuda. So Reb Shol says, in the name of Yehuda, Im Yoim Alach Odom Mosa Yovoi Keitz HaGeula Al Tam. And if anybody tells you that they know when the end, the redemption is coming, don't believe them. Why? He quotes his pasuk from Yeshaya, Ki Yoim Nokam Belibi, because there's a day of vengeance in my heart. It's in my heart. Libi Lepuma Loi Gala. God says, even from my heart to my lips, I haven't revealed it. My mouth doesn't even know what's in my heart. So, if my mouth doesn't know what's in my heart, the Gemara says, Puma Laman Gala. So, who did the mouth reveal it to if the mouth doesn't know? So, if anybody tells you they know a Mashiach's coming, they don't know a Mashiach's coming. And Shlomo tried to know it, and he couldn't know it. So, Bilam knows it. Bilam is Yoidea Das Elyon. So now we know something we didn't know about Das Elyon. And in fact, I think the Mizrochi on the Perushim on Rashi, they say that Das means Da'es. And it's the Gemara. What does it mean that Bilam knew the Das Elyon? He knew knowledge of the Most High. He knew that moment when God is angry, Kel Koyes Bikalyim, God angry every day, and he was going to use that moment to curse the Yidden. So Das is like we were saying, Sefitzira Da'es, it's to know time. That's the meaning of Das, is to be in the moment. To be in the moment in such a way that you're tuned into the knowledge which is flooding the universe. It's, if a person can be in the moment, then they can be connected in that way, and then you know everything, you know all the times. So you know Mashiach is coming. So Bilam knew it, but Moshe didn't know it. He's Yodei Das Elyon, and he's Yodei Hashem. So, again, I feel like there's a there are hints here that I'm not getting. I want to get right. It's interesting. So I feel that the only way to understand all of this is to understand something about what is Bilam's prophecy, and how does he even come to be a prophet? What does it mean that Bilam is a prophet? How does he come to be a prophet? The Rambam in Pirshei Mishnah is in Sanhedrin, we have these 13 animamins, but they originally start out in the Perush Mishnayos of the Rambam in long form. Somebody at some point has shortened them into animamin be'emunah shelema, but that's not how they appear in the commentary of the Rambam to the Mishnah. He gives each one like a little paragraph, right? So when he's talking about nevuah, which is the sixth principle, he says, what is nevuah? V'hu sheyeda odam shezeh min odam. A person should know that there's a certain kind of person who's naturally gifted. Bale tivim mimidois mu'ulois mo'oid shleimois gedoilois gedoilo. People who have a tremendous moral character and enlightened integrity. And he gives a whole list of and then also they have to have these intellectual achievements. Achein mekablois tsuras haseichel. Until they acquire this special intellectual perfection. And then, with this intellectual perfection, this of the seichel, they connect with the seichel hapoel, which is this active intellect, which is a sort of philosophical definition of what God is, the active intellect. But so, you have to perfect your intellect until you get there, and then there starts to flow v'netzal mimenu olav atzilus nichbad. So, when your intellect connects with this active intellect, meaning with the divine who's intellect, then it starts to flow. Ve'elohim ha-nevi'im, and these are the nevi'im. V'zu ha-nevu'ah, and this is what prophecy is. Prophecy is the flow of the active intellect. Then he says, ubir yisoid ze'al boira of yarech moed. If I tried to explain this properly, it would be a very lengthy explanation. Ve'en kavon aseinu lahovi moifes al kol yisoid mehem. And my purpose here, when I'm talking about these 13 principles of faith, is not to explain every axiom and where I bring proofs. That's not the point. Lefi shizehu klal ha'choch mekula. Because prophecy is, to understand what prophecy is, I would have to explain what wisdom is, because prophecy is klal ha'chochma kulo. Prophecy encompasses chochma. Aval ezker derech sipur bulvad. I'm just giving you like an anecdotal thing. How does one become a prophet? You become a prophet by becoming intellectually superior and then connecting with the divine intellect and so forth. And that's the Rambam's explanation of the sixth principle, which we usually read, an imamim b'emunah shelema shekol divrei hanevi'im emes. I believe with complete belief that all the words of the prophets are true. So the Rambam, like everybody else, right? Nevuah comes from Chachmah, right? So even the Rambam comes at it from this philosophical Aristotelian thing, that the Haseichel HaPoel, the active intellect, is an Aristotelian idea. We also have in Kabbalah this idea of Nevuah comes from Chachmah, right? We have to go up through the ladder, through Bina, and then we can achieve Chachmah consciousness, as a Kaplan calls it Chochmah consciousness. And Chochmah consciousness is the opening, is how we become a prophet. You know, the name Kael, which say Chesed Kael Kol Hayom, that the name Kael, Aleph Lamed, this name of God, this sacred name, is associated with the sphere of Chesed. But what it really is, it's Chochmah shining out. When Chochmah shines out into the world, then it manifests as this name of God, which is Aleph Lamed, which is pure Chesed. Even though, again, coming to this week in this posuk, Bilam is the one who knows Kael Zoyim B'Kol Yoim, that God is angry every day, which is a posuk, right? How come Kael? Just you said Chesed Kael Kol Hayom, Chesed of God is all day. And now the same name of God, you say that is angry every day. It seems to be a stira. It seems to be a direct contradiction, one for the other. And again, we keep finding all these things coming back to Bilam. That somehow, you know, Bilam is connected in some way to the Chochmah. And what the implication is that Chochmah has a dark side. When we were learning Sefer Yetzirah and we talked about Oimek Toiv and Oimek Ra, one of the Chidushim of my Sefer Yetzirah was that Oimek Toiv and Oimek Ra is the sphere of Chochmah. And Sume Rav Asay Toiv, we quoted the Baal Shem Tov who says it doesn't mean turn away from evil, but Sume Rav Asay Toiv means make the Ra Toiv. That you have to make the Ra Toiv. And Ezehu Chocham, quoted Ben Zoyma in the Mishnah in Ovois, Ezehu Chocham Haloi made me call Odom. Even though, you know, that's not really his quote. Ezehu Chocham, Harayas Anoiled. We had the Chachmei, the Chachmei Anegev, who are arguing with Alexander Mokhtin. And this really quote, the whole quote comes from them, but Ben Zoyma gets the prize in the Mishnah. It's attributed, the whole thing is attributed to him. You know, Ezu Oshis Mech Bechelkoi, and Ezu Gibber Kovishis Yitzroi, even though it was a very old quote, because of this one thing that he adds, which is Ezehu Chocham Haloimid Mikol Odom. Chochmah means learning from everybody, which means the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. We have as much to learn from the Yetzer Hara as we have from the Yetzer Tov. I don't know if it's as much, but we have a lot to learn. Why? Because Sumera Vasei Tov, we need to take the Yetzer Hara, and it's not about banishing, it's not about crushing, it's about learning. What is Chochmah? Chochmah is Yesh Me'ayin, something from nothing. So, Nevuah really is the paradigm of getting something from nothing. I didn't know something and it comes to me, I don't have to learn it. It comes to me from the Shoyresh. The Ishbitzer says, how come God says to Bilam, Loi Selech Imohem? Right? The first night, when the Shluchim of Balak, the messengers of Balak, come and they say, he says to them, let's hear what God says. God says, Loi Selech Imohem. So he comes down in the morning and he said, God said, I'm not supposed to go with you. Meaning, you're going to have to send some more important people to come and pick me up because God said to me, don't go with them. How come Bilam didn't read it properly, which was Loi Selech, don't go with them, right? Why did he read it, don't go with them? How come God gives Bilam this real opportunity to be so mistaken, right? To fool himself, right? And to read it the wrong way. So that, and then they come back the next time, already chutzpah, mahani klapishmai, so the second time already God says, oh, all right, so go. So the Ishbitzer says, it's interesting, there's a Medrash Tanchuma that says, Shloisha Bodkan HaKadosh Baruch Hu, three of them, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was boidig them, and he found Avit Shel Meiraglaim. He found a bucket of pish. Right? So Cain, Bilam, and Chizkiyo. Right? Cain, because God says, where's your brother? So he's the implication being, what? I know what my... You're the shame of everything, God. It's my responsibility where my brother is. You know, so this trying to fool God, or you know, just like using language in this way. In Chizkiyo, when Yeshaya comes, and not to get into Chizkiyo, Bilam, what does he say? Balak ben Boaz sholach elai. Balak sent for me. You know, rabbinical in Antwerpen, the Rebbe, the Przeworska Rebbe, whenever people came to him with a pisco, with a kvittel, he would ask for money. Or even if he didn't ask, everybody knew to put money down on the table. And once he said, you know why I take money? Because I go with this kvittel, I go to the world upstairs, And they say to me, Etzikl, wustisti du? What are you doing here? I say, mach gezult. They paid me. So, oh, they paid you. All right, so what have you got to say? Like an advocate. Don't blame the advocate. He's doing his job. He's paid, you know. He's not the criminal, right? Don't shout at him. Just listen to what he has to say and let him go, right? So Erebitzko used to say, this is me, you know. So Achkimarov, I come up on heaven and they ask me, what are you doing? Well, the chutzpah coming in here, mixing in, I said, but mach gezult. Bilam has got the same attitude, you know. The Ishbitz says he didn't want to, you know, he didn't want to get punished for really hurting the Yidden. So he says, Bollock has hired me to do this job for him. You know, I'm available. I mean, this is my koyach with my mouth, and he's invited me, he's in hiring me. And the Ishbitzer says, but there was a big lie, right? Because Bilam has so much teshuka, hishtoikkes, he has so much longing to do the Yidden evil. This is the Yidden who never did him any harm, right? No Yid ever did Bilam any harm. And he, Shloishahoy Be'etz, the Medrash says that Bilam was there with Paroi, Bilam and Eoiv and Yisroi, and Bilam was the one who gives all the bad advice to Paroi on how to get rid of the Yidden, and Eoiv was silent, and Yisroi ran away. And so, you know, their history unfolds, you know, from there. Bilam is already, he hates us before we even start out, and now he's got so much hatred. This is the Ishbitz Chiddush. He has so much hatred that he is the one who wakes up in Balak idea to hire him to go and curse the Eden. So when he says, Balak ben Sholach Elai, Balak ben Tzippor Sholach Elai, it's not really true. It's not Balak sending for Bilam. The Ishbitzer says it was really Bilam who sent for Balak to send for Bilam. So it's like another piece of this puzzle, you know, how Bilam has so much teshuka, he has so much longing and craving and desire to hurt the Eden, to destroy them, Anoshim, Noshim, V'taf, man, woman, and child. He wants to curse all of them. That he actually awakens inside Balak, hundreds of miles away, the desire to do the same thing, and he calls him. And I was thinking, you know, rather than just keep going around in circles, like, you know, trying to understand who is Bilam. Really, Yodea Das Elyon means a kind of intimacy. So how come Bilam has an intimacy with God that Moshe doesn't have? And it occurred to me, what does it mean, intimacy? Does intimacy mean poking around in somebody else? Or does it mean opening myself to that person? There's two different understandings, right? You know, we grow up with our children. We grow up with them from when they're babies, you know. We allow them their privacy, right? So by the time, you know, the children get halfway through adolescence, they're saying, oh, my father doesn't understand me. He doesn't know me at all. What does he know of me? My mother, well, she's a stranger, right? How is it possible that we know them so well and that they think that, you know, that we don't know them? You know, how it is because we don't poke around inside them in places we shouldn't poke around. We are open to them. We watch them. We're open to them completely. They can ask us whatever they want. We don't go probing around like African explorers who go into the dark continent to go, you know. Once somebody said to me, you know, that the modern sociologists, you know, like Margaret Mead, or these people who go, these cultural anthropologists, these are really the last of the colonists, right? Oh, this nation, he's got a secret, I must find out what it is. Oh, they've got their private lore, they've got these story. Oh, let's find out what they are. Why can't a person have privacy, right? And so anthropology is just another form of colonialism. You know, Moshe never asks God when Mashiach is coming. He didn't need to know. If Ribbono Shel'olam has a secret, Libe, Lepume, Legalia, Moshe didn't need to know. Just because you love someone doesn't mean you need to know all the secrets. You don't have to go probing. You don't have to. Somebody wants to tell me, I'm open. Bilam's not like that. He needs to know, right? And this is why Bilam has sex with his chamor, right? Because, you know, for him, he doesn't have boundaries. He doesn't say, I'm open, whatever you want to know, ask me. I don't have any secrets, so, you know, I'm open to intimacy. That doesn't mean anything to Bilam. No, he's got to go probing inside the other for all the secrets. And that's what the meaning of that medrash when it says Moshe lo yhoy yodea mi medabe imoy, it means that Moshe, you know, it's like if God wants me to know, he'll tell me. If God wants to reveal himself to me, he'll tell me who he is. I'm open. See, intimacy doesn't mean poking around in somebody's psyche and poking around in somebody's mysteries and those Libe, the Puma Legalia, those things that a person hasn't even revealed to their own mouth. That's not the meaning of intimacy. Intimacy means I make myself open and vulnerable. I take risks. Not those kind of risks of jumping into somebody else, but risks of opening myself. So Moshe is Asher Yedo'oi Hashem Ponim El Ponim. Moshe is the one that God knows face to face. Well, that's not who Bilam is. You know, he's Yodea Das Elyon. He goes into the knowledge of the Most High, which, as the Balaturim says, that means the Mashiach. He knows when Mashiach is coming. Why? Because he's poked around in there. So Bilam is a chocham, but his chocham is the dark side of chocham. You know, we talked when we were talking about Esav, saying that, you know, Esav used to go out hunting, and then his father would say to him, where were you? And he would say, oh, I was in Beis Medrash. He'd say, really? Sure. He'd say, there was machlokes. This one said like this, and this one said like that. You know, Omer Rabbi Yeshua, Omer Rabbi Loza, I forget exactly how the Medrash goes. And then he would ask his father, you know, Ketzad Master Mesal Teven, Ketzad Master Mesal Melech, how do you take tithes of salt and of straw? So I forget, I think it's the Rebbe Rabbunim who says, how did he know? If he didn't go to Cheder, and he never went to Yeshiva, and he was out with his bow and arrow and his bolas or whatever it was that he was using for hunting, how did he know when his father said to him, Vibis Tegevesen? We said that Esav is connected to Chochmah Elyona. Chochmah Elyona is there where the Torah comes from. The Torah is only Noiveles Chochmah Elyona. It's only an unripe version of this Chochmah Elyona. The Chochmah that Bilam is connected to, which is, we know what it looks like when it manifests as the name Kael, which is Aleph Lamed, which is the Chesed all the day. That Chochmah is an expression, is expressing the primal desire. The primal desire, and that's why, you know, it manifests as Chesed. The primal desire that manifests as Chesed also has within it the dark side, because it has to have the Gevura that says no, because without the Gevura that says no at least once a day, it explodes. It just, you know, everything melts in this radiation of the light. Bilam is so connected to this Chochmei law that he sees how it flows into the world. What does it mean that it flows into the world? It's the desire, God's desire for us. Bilam has so much tarumois, he has so many complaints about where God, Rabbeinu Shalom, how could you, you know, all these things, the things that the Yidden do wrong. And the Radzino, I forget, the Ois Desha explains that the three places that he takes, Bolak takes him first to Bomois Baal, you know, and that's really Bilam's and Bolak's attempt to show God that they have Avoida, that they have that they also have Yiroh, and that they also have worship of God. And opposite that, you have Tefillah LeMoshe. Moshe has already been there. Terem Horem Yelodu. So then the next one, he takes him to the next place that he takes him to is State Soifim. And the Ishbitzer says that State Soifim refers to Midas Yisod. It refers to the sexuality. And so he says, I'm going to show that the Yidden are not so ay-ay-ay with their sexuality. And they already have Tefillah LeDovid. David's already been there. He's already done tshuva for his sexuality. So then he takes him to Al-Pnei HaMidbar. So he faces him Pnei HaMidbar. And Rashi says, Ketargumoy. And the Targum says that he looks out to where the Yidden worship the Egel. He thinks to himself, now here I got them. And the Nois Desha says, already yeah, for that, you have Tefillah LeOni. Tefillah LeOni is Rabbeinu Shalom. I don't have any excuses. I don't have anything. I'm completely bereft of any excuse, anything to say. All I can say, Rabbeinu Shalom, is help. So Tefillah LeOni is the highest of all the tefillos. Bilam is right there in those tefillos. He's the one who's bringing out all these complaints. Rabbeinu Shalom, how can you put up with the Eden? I'm better. I'm show you. I'll be better. Give me the koyach. Give me the brachas. Give me all the things you give them. I'm going to do it much better for you. Rabbeinu Shalom says no. The Radzina says, how come the parsha of Bolak comes after the parsha of Pora Aduma? And he says that the Pora Aduma, we were talking last week, that there's something in us that has a complaint. You know, Rabbeinu Shalom, enough already, enough. G'nik. Even though part of us knows, it's nothing. Part of us is stuck in the Rabbeinu Shalom, enough. Why is there death? Why is there loss? Why is there everything? So he says that in dealing with our tarumos, in dealing with our complaints, we are shown that really, all the complaints the Jewish people have against God, they really are a reflection of the complaints the Goyim have on the Yidden. And really, Bilam's power is so great that in his tarumos against Yisrael, in his plaint against the Jewish people, he awakens in the Jewish people a plaint against God. And that's the connection between the Pora Aduma and Bolak. And that really, not only does Bilam arouse in Bolak the desire to curse the Yidden, but he arouses in us the complaints that he has against us. You know, from all this we can see that, you know, Bilam truly is a master of power. In a schlechter Mensch. You know, ultimately is a schlechter Mensch. We never did him any harm. And really, the Ishbitzer says, why do we need Parshas Bolak? Who do we need it? And the Gemara says that Moshe wrote his own Parsha, he wrote the book of Eov, and he wrote Parshas Bolak. Why? Because obviously Bolak didn't come with a Megillah and say, oh, by the way, let me give you this. This is the story from the last 5 days that me and Bilam... No, it's like this was a prophecy of Moshe. Moshe is told everything that's happening with Bilam and Balak. Why do we need it? What's it for? Who needs it? And the answer is because we need to be told how powerful are the forces that are arrayed against us, and how the Rabbeinu Shalom has already taken everything into consideration. I don't feel like I really understand or have explained what the greatness of Bilam was, or why, or what it was for, or how it even operated, and how it was connected. But maybe I've just laid out a few of the texts that people can look at, and maybe somebody can tie it all together. The main thing to remember is it says that min hashitim ad haGilgal, that all those days from the time that the Bilam started to try and curse the Eden, that God was not angry until the Eden came after the death of Moshe into Eretz Yisrael, and they circumcised themselves. So for all those weeks through the story of Zimri and Cosby and the Magepha and Pinchas, and then through the death of Moshe and everything that happened afterwards till Erev Pesach, when all the Yidden circumcised themselves, and Yehoshua says, Sartius Cherpas Mitzrayim Aleichem, I've removed the Cherpa of Egypt from you, which means also the Cherpa, the shame of the story of Zimri, which is, you know, again, one of Bilam's strategies and stratagems, that God withholds his anger because ultimately the Yidden are the purpose of everything, and the Rabbeinu Shalom has us in his hands and has no intention of allowing any of us to do the wrong thing.